All right, let me just pause and confirm. Jed, are you there?
I am.
Beautiful. We are set and ready to roll as we get rolling here today with our MediaBids Power Hour educational teleseminar, an opportunity to learn from Jed and myself, and an opportunity to ask questions related to the wonderful art and science of ad sales, whether we're talking about print, whether we're talking about e-newsletter, websites, or ideally the bundling of them all, whether you are selling ads into newspapers, magazines, directories, niche publications. We are here for you every step of the way. Thank you so much. Over the last 20 years, our work with leading advertising sales teams, publications, media groups around the world, and Jed and I in our 10th year of putting these on together. We love our working with you. Thank you for your passion for being here. Our goal is to share tools and resources that will help you win. You'll always hear at the beginning, though, it's not an accident. There's nothing to look at on your screen. We don't want you distracted to be multitasking or many-tasking. The more notes you take, the more notes you make, and not only in all of our work, but in all of the research about adult education, that we're going to infuse the knowledge. It's the coach approach. We're going to give you the knowledge that you can literally take from today and deploy 60 seconds after we finish up. That is our goal every single month that we come here together, and we always appreciate all of your questions related to the topics that we are covering. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. He is not only a wonderful contributor, and I love listening to his presentations, but wonderful support, and allows us to all come together and for us to work together to put these on. So, Jed, how about some opening words about MediaBids, the work you're doing, what you've seen over this last year, and then I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we'll dive right into talking about selling strategically into the budget season.
Great. Well, thanks, first of all, to Ernest. I always do a great job with these teleseminars. We all learn a lot, and so I appreciate all the time and effort he puts into them. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We've been around for 15 years, and we are wholly devoted to driving revenue to primarily the print versions of publications. We do it in several different ways, but we are primarily in the business of attracting advertisers who have forsaken print for other mediums, and we're able to attract them back to print by offering them the same kinds of tools that they use online for measuring the results that they receive, and we're able to show them exactly how their print ads are performing and how and you know what their return on their investment is. So for us it's been a process where we have we've gone from sort of primarily selling ads conventionally, where we're selling, you know, selling a set dollar amount for space, to now we're primarily tracking the results that are generated by ads, and this allows us to attract advertisers who, as I mentioned earlier, have in many cases not done print for many, many years. And what these advertisers find, by and large, is that the results that are generated by print tend to be much better quality results than they're getting online. So the close rate is higher, the customers that they attract tend to be of better quality, and this, you know, this is all great news for print. So we're always looking for new publications to work with. If you're not using MediaBids, we'd love to talk to you about using us. We don't charge anything. We make money only if you make money. So please give us a call, send us an email. We're always here. We'd love to hear from you. Again, thanks again to Ernest, and thanks all for all of you for attending.
Beautiful. And As you're listening to Jed speak, over all the years we've worked together, I'd just love to say that Jed and his team work the old-fashioned way. They go out, do the job. When you make money, they make money. I love that. And they will deliver on their promise. They do a great job, and they know what they're doing. So do reach out to them, and you'll enjoy that. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. This is our 20th year since the launch of our company. We've worked with more than 2,000 advertising sales teams in 11 countries around the world. Or I'm sorry, 11 time zones around the world. And we just love working together. The bigger your dreams and goals, the hotter the kitchen, the more that we want to be in the kitchen with you. Big goals, big dreams, big challenges, big obstacles. You come to us, we work together. We also run one of the top 200 LinkedIn groups in the world. We have an incredible understanding about that very important platform. And last but not least, we run a live weekly ad sales academy every single Tuesday, and we love the work that we do. We have 19 media kit presentation areas we focus on, 26 business development strategies, 21 negotiating skills, 32 sales skills to master. Today ties into that. That's the perfect sort of transition. We actually, in our academy, every Tuesday, we've been focused since September 1st on this, and realizing that we're in October, we're still in budget season. Okay, but the importance of budget season that began in our academy, we began with all of our clients, in many cases preparing in August, but ever since the lights went on September 1st, we've been live in budget season. And you're going to hear a flavor of that, of what we've been talking about during our Tuesday academies, but very, very focused during the budget season. There are some key pieces to recognize. I just want to sort of start, Jed, at 30,000 feet, okay, to recognize that rate card increases, and whether we're talking print, newsletter, the digital website, the bundles of all of those, are an important part of every year's cycle. Let's agree, as a starting point, that our costs continue to rise. Without increases, we can't cover those costs. In fact, oftentimes when we're working with a sales team, we ask them to build a little triangle, right? And we say, look, there are three things in this triangle of success as a media group. Number one, we've got rate card increases, and we've got increases on one side that balance the second part, which is the expenditure side. Can we spend less in certain areas? Is that possible? Are there ways? In general, there are some ways, but in most cases, what we find is that costs increase. Take, for example, healthcare. Take, for example, salaries. Take, for example, postage, postal, web work, all those things. And then the third part of that triangle is, can we add more value? And that's where we focus our time. It's what we call the I wish portion of that triangle, that we say, listen, before we talk about just the increases, you know, can we get that increase? Will we get that increase? And we're going to field many of your questions that came in related to that. But the other part of it is, how do we get the increase with grace? We get the increase with grace because we own the space, because we've done something that is big. That's the I wish component in budget season. So if you find yourself saying, it's just another day, it's just another year in the life of our media group, it's just another chance to go out and pick up that renewal or not, or get the increase or not, if we're going to come from ho-hum, or if we're going to come from the defense, how will I get that? Or I couldn't possibly ask. If we're going to be on our heels, then we're not going to accomplish our goals, and it's never going to be fun, okay? If you were to just stand for a moment as you're listening and just lean gently back on your heels, you feel kind of the ball of your foot, okay? And then if you were to lean forward to the ball of the foot, the minor difference between your heels and the ball of your foot is minor, but it's major in terms of advertising sales success. And my challenge for each of you, and Jed and I challenge each of you to ask yourself, are you on your heels, same old, or are you on the ball of your foot, leaning in, saying, no, we're here to win, we're here to compete ferociously, we're here to play big. And this part about, the I wish, when we sort of settle into that topic, thinking about budget season, and you might say, Ernest, Jed, how does the I wish fit into our next year's budget cycle? It means, what are you going to do that's extraordinary? Things that you never imagined you were going to do, that you were going to play so big. When I've said that sometimes to our Academy members on Tuesday, you know, and I hear back their responses, and they're like, I want to put, you know, my publication in the hand of every one of these agencies. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. How many are the agencies? I don't know. Well, then how do you step into the I wish? Or, you know, or it's 88 agencies. Great. How many have you spoken to in the last 90 days? A fourth? Half, a third, okay. So you see, sometimes our I wishes are right in front of us. They have to be granular. They have to be specific. They have to be measurable. We have to go to them. Because the I wish means you're looking for a game changer. Let me tell you a little story, an example of a game changer. Back in my corporate days, Jed, we would place our free publications near the exit doors. And we were doing, you know, $300-400 million in biz. We were not ho-hum. We were a large corporate entity. And the placement of those racks near the exit door in grocery stores, it was and is prime real estate, right? And if you were on the rack, you had a great story. And if you were off the rack, you didn't. Well, an example of playing big is we'd lean back in our own budget season and say, how do we go scoop up and take away every grocery store from a competitor? Maybe they had half this grocery stores, maybe we had half, and our play big was what? To go dominate the other half and remove them from the rack. Now, how big a story is that to go out to advertisers to say you used to be in these 400 locations, that you're no longer. You're no longer there.
Right.
Here's a pie chart that shows you there's 400 locations, and we control all 400, and our competitors are no longer there. Those are those small examples. Other examples where some of you have talked to me about, you know, we work with golf clubs and golf courses and members and having exclusives of mailing lists. I could go on and on and on. Jed, we probably could run a call like this literally with creative play-out-of-the-box I wish examples. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a big difference. I mean, you know, what you're talking about are, you know, are reasons why a, you know, a rate increase really can be justified.
That's correct. But if it's just business as usual, ho-hum, then it feels like we're on the balls of our feet, not the front of our toes leaning forward. And that's the difference. So take that from the opening remarks here today, recognizing that you have to ask yourself, where are you playing? How are you playing as a team? And where are you thinking strategically? And where are you playing big? Sometimes it might include the acquisition of a competitor. Sometimes it might be doubling your exposure on the SEO on the website, or doubling the number of subscribers to your e-newsletters. I mean, these are the kinds of things that we're talking about, that you go in and you have a powerful story. So therefore, the topic of a rate card increase is a small part to the bigger piece of all the other things you're going to talk about. So let's dive in and get a little more granular. Let's talk a little bit about the whole process of budget season, the mindset, and the things that we're trying to accomplish. Certainly, budget season is a state of mind, okay? It's your state of mind realizing that everything's in play, okay? That what began back in September, on September 1st, when the lights went on, literally through the middle of November, this is that window. And then we slide right into from mid-November, that the numbers have got to kiss right into January, and off we go in the budget season. So your ad agencies are making decisions, continuing all the way through the middle of November. Your key buyers are. And then for those of you, I always like to pause and say, look, and for those of you working with smaller and medium-sized companies, we know, Jed and I know, they don't exactly work on the same sort of budget cycle like the larger ones. But it's still okay to talk to them about their plans between here and the end of the year. It's still okay to talk to them about their plans into the first quarter, okay, and their budgeting process. And sometimes when you're really, really good as an advertising professional, an advertising expert, your small and medium advertisers will come to you and ask you to help them write their budget or help them with their media plan. That's when you know you have arrived from that perspective, okay? Also recognize this time of year, all right, every ad expense is on the table. That's why it's a great time of year. I wish, Jed, every single week of the year was budget season. Why? Because everyone's talking about their numbers and their plans. Jed, you have advertisers coming to you. You have ad agencies coming to you. They're planning for next year, right?
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, and you know, they're not only planning for next year, but they're also sort of evaluating this year, right? And they're trying to determine you know, what to do different next year. So it's really, you know, as you say, it's the most opportune time for change, for positive change.
It is, and you're right. They're looking at the justification. They're looking at the ROI. Some of the terms and jargon that we do a lot of work, Jed, in our academy on, the jargon terms, cost per call, cost per lead, cost per prospect, cost per deal close, all of that jargony term. Some sectors do it really well, others not as much. Some sectors we do a lot of educating on that, and the value of a lead and the quality of a lead and the tracking of the leads and so forth. So very important. But let's realize, too, Jed, the other side of that coin is what? We could get axed in the middle of budget season, right? We could be removed and we could be surprised by that, right?
Right, absolutely. And you know, and it's as print people, right, you know, you always have to work a little harder, I feel like, to offer the justifications, only because the tide of sort of the news stories and all of the kind of the cool new things that are always coming out on mobile or web-based platforms, you know, those are the things that make the news. So as print people, you know, no one's going to sit there and say, you know, maybe we should try the weekly newspaper this year, right? You know, that's not going to be something that sort of is on the top of their mind. Whereas, and that's why you just have to work a little harder to show them why it is that they need to reevaluate that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly the point. And so when we think about this, you know, time of year, we have to stay extra close to our advertisers, but it's also an opportunity to be given the opportunity to work with our largest prospects, our largest ad agencies, okay? And it means, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it means at a drop of a hat, you've got to be able to field questions, you've got to be able to supply data, you've got to have your media kit current and ready, you have to have your side-by-side media comparisons, one of our Power Hour signature parts of our work with our clients, your media comparisons, your media success story, 2-column, 3-column have got to be ready to go. Everything has got to be click send. So if I were to say, hey, Jed, you know, we're sitting at a meeting and we're also talking about, you know, the stats on, you know, what this ad would run versus that, or what the stats would be on the cost per thousand, or can you tell me about the call tracking piece on this, or can you give me a refresher on the social media over here, or what you're doing in LinkedIn, or what you're doing with your CERC, you got to be able to go click send, click send, click send. As fast as I'm asking questions, we as advertising leaders have got to be that responsive every step of the way. Let's work our way through some questions here, because there's lots that we want to share, but what we decided, Jed and myself, is that there were so many questions on this that we're going to begin fielding some of the questions that have come in prior to and that are coming in real time. And as we're fielding those questions, it's going to also flow nicely into some of the topical points. So Tom in Alabama asks, we have raised display ad rates slightly, 1.5% to 2% each year for the last 5 or 6 years. Several customers left this year for the competitors because of those steady increases. How can that situation be approached? Two comments on that. Number one, you heard us open up with Play Big. What have you changed on the other side? Would be, you know, if we were here in a kind of a one-on-one call, Tom, and you said, "Hey, Ernest, you know, in 15 minutes, you know, can we talk about this one sentence?" My first comment would be, "Okay, great. What have you done different in the last 5 or 6 years? What have your then the next piece? What have your competitors done?" In other words, who's winning or not? We often talk about, during our sales academies on Tuesday, we talk about tug of war, right? The little schoolyard game, Jed, you know, three on one side, three on the other, and you're pulling back and forth. And you remember, Jed, that, you know, the rope would go a little this way and a little this way and a little that, and then poof, right? There's a winner. To all of you, whether you realize it or not, that's what's happening with you and your competitors. Every single meeting, an ad decision is made that rope tugs a little closer towards you, meaning you got the renewal, you got a new ad, you got an upgrade, okay, or you lost a renewal or lost an upgrade or lost a sale, and a competitor pulled on the other side. Because my follow-through point would be, hey, Tom, what are you doing with your ad drop comparisons? How closely actually are you tracking your competitors? What do you know about their print, their newsletter, and their website? What is actually happening? Who's winning in that invisible tug of war? And if you can't answer that, then you don't know specifically what's being lost. Are you losing the small stuff? Are you losing the big stuff? Are you losing stuff in certain categories versus other categories? I mean, those are the kinds of things. But the core question is that has it been over the last 5 or 6 years business status quo, or how big did you play and how much did you do to set yourself apart? Because when you play big, if I came in and said, look, Tom, you used to spend, you know, $50,000 with my competitor and $50,000 with me, and we used to split the visibility at every grocery store in the market. As of today, they're no longer there. I want every one of those dollars. You're not getting the exposure. Now, when you come in for that, it doesn't matter what a 2% increase is, because why would an advertiser who's now lost all the visibility in that competitor, why would they continue? And when you make those kind of plays, the increase of 1.5% and 2%, frankly, is not even a conversation when you play big. Jed, a comment to share with Tom related to this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that that you know what it boils down to from the advertiser's perspective is they you know they want to see results, and I think that if you can show them results and you can show them that the money that they're spending with you is generating the right amount of revenue for them, then you can increase your rates even more. I think I don't think it's as much about the rates as it is about the perceived value of what they're buying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that part is absolutely key. Let's continue with the questions. Leah in Pennsylvania asks, "What is a good rate card increase percentage?" Okay, and Leah, again, another, you know, starting with the same response to Tom, what have you increased? What are your competitors increased? But what have you done different? But in terms of the percentage, there is no right or wrong. You know, I have seen media groups increase by 5, 7, 10, 12, 15% or more. They've made categorical shifts and changes. They've adjusted frequency. They've increased their visibility. So when you're winning big and when you're doing big things, I've also had media groups that have acquired competitors and more dominate a market. So there's a lot of variables there. But quite honestly, when we're in the very smaller single digits, like we heard from Tom, 1.5%, 2%, it is awfully tough to keep covering your cost. And what we start to see is slippage, and we see lost profitability on the side, which means you're more vulnerable because you're not able to play as big. You don't have as much financial reserve. And it's a negative backward cycle. Okay? So once again, you know, feel the difference on the bottom of your foot from your heel, right, leaning back to leaning forward is a subtle difference, but it's a huge difference when you think strategically related to increases. Let's see. Heidi in Wisconsin asks us, do you find that when rates are raised, advertisers simply cut back to compensate, or do you feel there are true gains realized? Again, you know, when you're making 3 and 4 and 5% increases, let's just take $1,000. You know, what is, you know, a 4% increase? You know, it's $40. Who's walking away from $40 if you brought $40,000 of new biz, right? I'll keep writing my check for $1,000. Yeah, you're going to bump me $40. We all know the difference in cost of living and so forth. But if fundamentally you're not delivering on the ROI, back to Jed's point a few minutes ago, if you're not delivering on that side, then it's not the $40. It's that they've lost full belief in you. Okay, quick example on that. There have been some changes on LinkedIn, right? We know the social media platform came out at IPO $30, grew to $280. They've been in the sort of 200, 190 range and so forth. But they have made fundamental changes. And I can tell you today, I don't care if they were selling for $1, I no longer am an investor in LinkedIn because I have lost complete confidence in their platform at this moment. It's been one of the roughest 120 days around the LinkedIn platform. So you see, it's not really a conversation about whether LinkedIn is $195 today or $193. It doesn't matter whether up and down is. What matters is lack of trust or loss trust. The same is happening with advertisers on their side. They're really not falling away because of the increase. What they're really saying is, I've either lost the confidence, you haven't justified the results, your competitors are doing a better job, or you are not giving me enough, I wish, play big, new opportunity to understand why I'm going to advertise, and it's not about the increase. Jed, your observations on that?
Right. I mean, when an advertiser says, I think that you know, just to go back a few steps, I mean, one of the problems that I sort of alluded to earlier is that most advertisers who do print really don't have any idea how well the ad does. So we've talked about this many, many times in other teleseminars, but what oftentimes happens in print is that someone runs an ad. They usually have some very, very shoddy way of trying to determine whether the ad has run. Maybe they have someone who answers the phone and asks people where they saw, you know, why they're calling and what they're responding to. Or they feel like they have just some sort of you know, kind of seat of the pants idea whether an ad is performing or not. They rarely have any true data. And so one of the things that we oftentimes recommend in these teleseminars is for you as the media professional, you know, in the room, right, that you be the one who supplies that data. And by supplying that data, you can really change the conversation. You know, here at MediaBiz, we use phone numbers predominantly. So we put unique 800 numbers into most of the ads that we run in an effort to determine exactly how many people are responding to any individual ad on any given day. You know, with that information, we can make a lot of assumptions and make a lot of and present the advertiser with a lot of information about how their ad is performing. But without that information, we're really just at the advertiser's mercy. And when you're at the advertiser's mercy, my experience has been that you're always going to lose especially to advertising options that provide that information sort of built in. For example, things like AdWords or many banner networks, right, are, you know, even though they may work horribly for the advertiser in question, there's something that's really nice about being able to look at a dashboard any time of day and see exactly how much you've spent and exactly what you've gotten for the money that you've spent. Well, print can do the same thing, right? You all have within your capability the ability to do it almost exactly the same thing. But the difference is that the tradition in print has just been that they never have. So you know, this is really a huge disadvantage when it comes time to budget season and when advertisers are thinking about making changes, because if advertisers don't know how well they're doing with the money that they're spending with you, then that money becomes very, very easy to not spend next year, right? You know, there's no perceived loss for not spending it, because there's no real understanding of the gain that they've received in spending it. So my point, you know, along the lines of a lot of these questions is really that, you know, if you can gather the data, you're in a much, much stronger position, because you're now able to quantify what their expenditure is worth and really go head to head with some of their other options. You know, from a dollars and cents and ROI perspective, you know, you can show them, look, you ran this ad, you got this many phone calls, based on your close rate and based on the length of the calls, it looks to me like you made, you know, 17 sales. If you made 17 sales at this amount of dollars, this is what, you know, this is how much money you made. You know, great, let's do it again. Most advertisers cannot say no to that kind of logic. So that's I'm sorry I took the conversation back a little bit, but I think that you know, where you're really in a much stronger position.
You're spot on, Jed. And listen to what Jed is talking about, right? The ability to track and measure every inbound phone call, the ability to track and measure every lead that we're sending to the clients by email or by forms that are completed. But also listen to what Jed said, and this is a biggie. You know, do you know, the sales cycle, right, of the advertisers? You know, do you know, we're using their jargon, what the sweet spot is for their profitability? For example, a car dealer, you know, how many times will someone come to that car dealership? You know, what is the average ticket price? You know, a chiropractor, they have a different need. A law firm, they have a different need. How many times will, you know, how many people will call how many attorneys? How long before, you know, they make the decision to engage? You know, what is the return on investment once, you know, an attorney, a chiropractor, a car dealer, you know, engages with and actually a sale is made or a new client is procured? Knowing the jargon, knowing the return on investment. If you can take it down to that level, you're winning. And that's part of this budget season cycle. It also syncs up with the strategies to prepare for every renewal. And that also ties into every new ad sale, right? So all of these, you know, the world of advertising media has become much, much more complex over the last 10 and 20 and 30 years that Jed and myself have been around it. We do have to work harder. There is no doubt. Let's shift gears and weave in another question. Peggy in Illinois asks a question, how early should I communicate the rate change? Well, this is that time of year that we are talking to our advertisers, our ad agencies, large, small, and everybody in between. I want to reverse it for just a minute. You know, Jed, we hear the piece called, EG, you're not in my budget, right? And I always laugh because I always say, okay, how many advertisers do you have? You know, 100, 500, 10,000. How many of them call you, you know, for an estimate of what the increase will be for next year? And I always get this, not enough, or not many, or just a few, or, you know, yeah, but, you know, Tim, Larry, and Sarah do, but I don't hear from the rest. You know, we always get these funny responses. And it reminds me, and it should remind us, that if less companies are calling us to talk about increases, either A, they're not putting us in their budget, or B, that budget has more flexibility than we really realize. Now, Jed, I do remember working in certain sectors where they would pull up the budget, they'd have four companies listed by name, and they had the dollars next to it, they had the increase by the month, and it was, I mean, I have seen some sectors that are that buttoned down, calling out the source, the current rate, and then knew exactly when the increase is going to happen. And I remember you've heard me tell stories about buying Yellow Page ads. I'd call every year, I'm working on my budget, and they'd say, yes, your agreement ends at the end of June, and on July 1st, it goes up $30, and my budget would reflect that, okay? So, Peggy, back to your question, the first piece is, what percent of your advertisers, think back to this time last year, were calling you talking about increases, okay? And then this year so far, right, we've already been in the budget season for almost 7 weeks now. How many of your advertisers have been asking you? More importantly, as they, especially the medium, the larger, the ad agency-related ones, they're working on setting the stage for next year, and they should be talking about that. But in reverse, where have you gone with your conversations thinking about 2016? What have you been tucking into your messaging for them, your meetings with them, your I wish and big story going into next year, and therefore the rate increase dovetails in there very nicely. Part two of Peggy's question says, should I give special offers to renew or lock in the rate change? How best communicate it? And the answer is, yes, we do believe in that. It does give us an opportunity. And, Jed, we know from our experience, you're able to say, hey, look, you're going to be renewing. That means you'll skip over the increase from this year, and it shows our continued relationship. But if we go into January, yes, you do pick up the new rate. Likewise, new advertisers the same way. Let me walk you through. Let me talk to you about our rate card. Let me share with you what's increasing in January. Hey, I really would like to get you started this year. Let's get that 12-month agreement signed. We'll get you on the web. Our newsletter, print, boom, and therefore you're locked into this year's rate in advance of next year. Jed, your thoughts and comments on Peggy's questions?
I mean, I'll say something that's probably not that popular in this mm-hmm. crowd, and that is that my suspicion, and based on the advertisers that I talk to, most people I talk to assume that there should not be an increase in rates for print. And the reason why they make this assumption is that everything they hear and read is negative news about print. It's falling circulations, it's falling readership, it's you know, falling ad sales. So their attitude very often is, you know, they take the little that they know, sort of the postage stamp version, right, of what they know about the industry, and they apply it to every single outlet out there, right? You may be in a situation where your e-newsletter circulation has grown, maybe your print circulation has grown, maybe you've got, you know, new editorial features that are popular. You may have a lot of positive things to a lot of positive stories to tell, but you can bet that going into the conversation that most of your advertisers are ignorant of those positive changes, number one, and your positive changes have to counterbalance all of the negative sort of you know, word of mouth type stuff that they're hearing out there in how the industry as a whole is doing. So, you know, it just makes it, you know, it just makes it even more important, right, to plan ahead for these things and to be able to tell a story to your advertisers that's different than just sort of the, you know, we had 20,000 circulation last year and this year it'll be 19,500. You know, I mean, it's got to be something more than that, because it's not enough to say to them, our costs have gone up, right? I mean, it's just, that isn't enough. You got to be able to they have to feel like they're getting more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positively. And Jed's point is so valid, because we've heard, Jed, you talk about, right? You know, large ad agencies will literally come in and say, hey, listen, Jed, for print leads, prospects, new biz, we'll give you $20 and $25 and $30, and for the digital ones, we'll give you $1 or $3 or $5. I mean, I know I'm just,
right,
you know, remembering of those stats that you shared, right?
Yeah, it's not even close. I mean, that's the thing that I sort of, on a personal level, just sort of find frustrating, right, is that so many print publications have such a positive and really great story to tell to their advertisers, if they would only figure out what that story is. And there's just so few that have actually taken the time and effort to do that, that it's hard for me to understand. You know, as someone who likes the print industry and feels that it's an important part of our democracy, you know, not to sound too grandiose, but I really, you know, I feel like, you know, some of America's health depends on newspapers and magazines figuring this problem out. And it just is, it just breaks my heart to see it, because we find, you know, we deal with about 2,000 advertisers, right? And I could count on one hand the number of advertisers who would disagree with me on this. Almost all of them pay us a large multiple of what they pay online. That they want, you know, the leads that they get from print tend to be leads that turn into customers, but not just customers that buy multiple times. The average ticket order for print customers tends to be way, way more than online advertisers. So the people who are buying from print are buying, not only buying more, but they're buying more of it, right? So there's so many positive things to tell, and you know, and we are in a position, right, where we're talking to so many advertisers and just turning them down because, you know, either A, they're not valuing they're not valuing print high enough, or B, we just don't think we can do enough volume for it, right? We don't think we can get enough placements and justify the cost based on what they're paying for the lead. But there's no end to the appetite, right? There are advertisers who want to be in print, who understand that, you know, its value. And I think that that's true on the local level too. I mean, most of the guys we're dealing with are regional or national, but I can't believe that it's not true locally as well. If there was a mechanism, if publications sort of implemented a mechanism to try to show that, to try to articulate the value to their advertisers. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, without being, you know, I don't want to be too damning, but I think it's one of the things that publications will look back on, you know, 5-10 years from now, and say to themselves, how did we not do this? How did we, you know, it was so easy right there, and we never took these steps to do it, because it could have made an enormous difference in our business.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Point well made. And what you're hearing from Jed and what you're hearing from us today is that, do we know our value? Do we appreciate our value? Do we can we measure the value of what we're bringing, because in Jed's case, working with thousands and thousands of advertisers, tens of thousands of ads being placed, literally hundreds of thousands and millions of inbound calls being tracked, that's what you're hearing. And Jed, at least once or twice a year, I beg him to literally run an entire teleseminar just on these facts and come back into the MediaBit site, because they're there. You can go back and listen to the prior one earlier this year just related to that. It's really, really a big deal. We want, you know, there's such great news in what we do, but it's only as good as we project it, sell it, and explain that. Let me field a couple more. I'll let us talk on a few more questions. And again, we're backing into all the points for today that we have on certainly as part of our presentation related to the budgeting for the upcoming year, but we're also loving your questions, and we're kind of weaving it together. Joe asks a question, how often should we change our rate card? And Joe, I can remember the old world of we printed our media, literally physically printed our media kit once a year, and that was it. You had one pass. That's long gone. Media kits need to be updated minimum every 30 days, and in fact, because of that principle, every Tuesday in our academy, the second Tuesday, we focus on media kit 12 times a year, every single month. That's how important it is to us, that it's constantly and continuously being updated. And your rate card, we have advertising groups that historically had done it once a year. Now they do it twice, and in some cases three times a year. Why? Especially because the digital is moving so fast on that side, and they're gaining more readership, more views, more likes, more subscribers. On that side, that's a very dynamic, moving target, and frankly, we're updating it even more frequently, so I liked the piece that you asked us related to that, Joe. Laney also asks about, in California, how is online viewership responding to less print coverage? And Jed, quite honestly, you addressed that already. So, Laney, if you have a follow-up question and you want to send that to us, just pop a quick email to ernest@powerhour.com, or just send an email as a follow-up to the confirmation that brought you here. Let's circle back to a couple of key points talking about the budget season, okay? And this is one of those fiction moments, okay? Myth versus the reality, all right? You know, when we think about the fact, budgets are zero-based, meaning they're intended to be built from nothing up. In other words, the best companies go to scorched earth and say, look, if we were to look at the upcoming year with a blank sheet of paper, here's what we're going to do. Okay? Others take what they're currently doing, add and subtract what they're doing, all right, and then we'll make their decisions related to media marketing. The challenge for us is to know which model our advertisers are utilizing. Okay, and then the other part to realize is that we need to, again, rising above our competitors, have everything in place to track and measure all that we possibly can and be able to call out the things that set us apart from everybody else. Okay, fact, ad budgets and choices, yes, are rapidly changing, especially on the digital side. Okay, fiction, print is enough, which, Jed, we've been talking about. Print is a very compelling story, and yet the digital side, advertisers and ad agencies want to talk about that. It is so interesting. We had some of you asking us questions saying, literally, how do I bring my advertisers into the digital side? They're non-digital. They're print-focused. And then others of you said, my advertisers are digital-focused. They're not as interested in print. It was very interesting, Jed, as we looked at the questions coming in. We had some saying the sky is purple, some say the sky is blue. So we thought that was very interesting as we were preparing, you know, for today. And you have to also understand the mindset of your particular advertisers, their particular needs. Certainly, certain sectors are much more digital. How do you respond to that? And then others certainly have had great success with print and want to continue that as well. So fact versus fiction, okay? Here is a biggie. Fiction. Your clients are busy during budget season. Okay, the truth is they are busy with it, but the fiction is they do need to hear from us. We sometimes perceive that they're so immersed in the budget process that it's I remember my mother once saying to me, you know, Ernest, when you were born, your father dropped me off at the hospital, and a week later he came back. It was like 7 days later, poof. We imagine that our advertisers go into budget season and they disappear for 6 or 8 weeks, and we shouldn't disturb them. Shh, quiet. It's a library. Don't make any noise. That's exactly the opposite. They're looking at every decision that they're making in terms of advertising. You are on the table in conversation, hopefully to the right side and the positive side. So let's recognize that we never back off this time of year. In fact, it's the time to be the boldest with your marketing, with sharing new news, your e-newsletters, your association involvement. We've been doing some work this past week, Jed, during our Tuesday Academy. We just got done working on centers of influence, you know, those that can open doors, book appointments, set appointments, and the formulaic way to, you know, to do that. So very, very important. And the same goes for our prospects, okay? And then the classic call email that says, tell me when our agreement ends. There was a moment in time where I thought, oh, gosh, they're just lining up their budgets and seeing when the agreement ends. And then I learned as time went by, Jed, that actually was shorthand for what? I'm getting a cancellation, right?
Right.
So fact versus fiction, for those of us that have been around the media buying space, when advertisers reach out about the end of the agreement or wanting to know when it renews, I often thought or perceived this time of year that was because they were lining up their budget. In most cases, they were not. Very important piece. Jed, any comments on that before we roll back to some of the additional questions that we have?
You know, I guess the only thing, you know, that I wanted to add to what you were talking about is that, you know, in terms of some advertisers being more digitally focused and other advertisers being more print focused, you know, I think that one of the things which we find here is that more than anything, advertisers today, what's really changed over the past 10 years is that advertisers today are results focused. So they don't, you know, they think that advertising digitally is going to give them the most results, or advertising in print is going to give them the most results, but they don't really know. And so really what they're saying is, this is what we think works, right? So what's your cost on what we think works? If you go to them with an explanation of what you can do for them and how what you want to do for them will work, right? Really, that's what matters more than anything, is the results that your plan is going to generate, much more than the actual medium that you're distributing their ad through. Because really, you know, everyone today, I mean, there's a few companies out there that are worried about branding, but mostly, you know, most advertisers today are worried about results, however they want to define that, whether it be sales or website visits or, you know, who knows, you know, Facebook visits. It could be almost anything, but they're focused on something that's measurable. You know, and your job is just basically to show them how these other parts of your business can increase that measurable, definable result.
Absolutely. And the key word, you know, when Jed, you say it's all about results, right? If they could shout from the tallest flagpole, you know, and sell 10 more ice cream cones, they would do it, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter. What you find with advertisers is that they want to talk about print or digital or online versus not, or you versus the company. But in the end, what is it they want? They want to give you a dollar, and they want $3 back or $5 back and $10 back. And if you can prove it to them and show them that they got 5 or 7 or 10 back, or if that you brought them 20 when your competitors brought only 5, you win. I mean, really, in the simplest terms, keying on that word results, yeah, that's really what it's about. Show me the money, show me the return, and show me that you're doing it at a rate or better than my competitor, correct?
Right. Yep. And I think that, you know, yep, you could put your ads, you know, their ads almost anywhere. And if you could, you know, bring in the results for what they're, you know, for at a price that they like, then that's probably more important than anything for a lot of advertisers. You can't say all.
No, that's right. And so let's continue with some of the questions. Benita in Texas asks, What type of digital versus print bundles are the most effective in small to medium markets? And Benita, that's the key piece for me, small, right, versus and medium markets. So you're working with a little less sophisticated buyer. They're probably not as immersed in the budgeting process. Only some will even have ad agencies, which is not a bad thing. It means you're going to work directly with the owners and the principals and the presidents and the partners and the families that you work with. And those markets are really nice. It reminds me of the Warren Buffett model, right, that went out and bought, 60, 80 newspapers in very small to medium markets because they're mainstays. They're not going anywhere. It's the large newspapers that try to serve everyone everywhere that are struggling, and even they are migrating over and doing even more and more on the digital side. So in terms of the bundles, my first comment is, what do you offer? You know, tell me about your print. Tell me about what you are doing with your e-newsletter. Tell me what you are doing with the web. Those are the natural bundles. But then there's other kinds of things, small things that in smaller markets that you can do. You can deliver social media. You can make posts on advertisers' Facebook on their behalf. You can handle their Twitter. You can help them with LinkedIn. You can help them with direct mail. There's a host of other things. What I would like to say, Benita, to you is that think going more vertical and seeing if there are 7 or 10 or 15 ways to work with those. And any of you working with in small markets or with smaller advertisers, embed yourself and find 7, 10, 15 ways to help them. Obviously, you're being paid for those in varying scales, and become more than just a print buy or a digital buy or a bundle buy. Create a real partnership to help them win. It also takes all your competitors out of the table or off the table, and it works fabulous. So, Benita, thank you. I actually love that question. I don't know how small your markets are, but Jed, please.
Let me just add something to that. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, it is a great question. And I would, you know, if I were an advertiser and I was talking to Benita or anyone, I would say to her, you know, what do you think works? Like, you tell me what works. I mean, I will do what you suggest. So I mean, I would encourage you to come up with some case studies, right? Even if it means that you have to, you know, use one advertiser as a guinea pig and maybe give them a price break on something to get them to do exactly what you want, right? What you think will work, whether that means, you know, whether that means, you know, a banner ad every day and, you know, and as Ernest, you know, was suggesting, you know, an e-newsletter or a Facebook post and a print ad every day. Get them to do exactly what you want. Track the results and then go back to these guys and say, you know, yeah, what I can do is interesting, and we can talk about that, but mostly what I can do is give you, you know, 100 new customers next week or next month, right? I mean, that's really sort of what matters more. So if you say to them, this is what we did, this is what we've done for another, you know, for another similar business, and this is what worked, you know, I have a hard time imagining that that's not going to be an effective sales strategy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to be of value, to be of service. You know, and some of my, go back 20 years ago when I was working with, you know, those that, you know, were just print solutions, they embedded almost like a little agency piece. There was a particular group on the East Coast, Jed, that worked with realtors, and they sold them ads for their, you know, for their homes that were for sale. And then they were providing their business cards, they were producing flyers, then they were going out taking pictures of the homes, and then they were helping to write ads, and then they were helping with direct mail, and they were helping with trade show marketing. All of a sudden, I was like, wow, you guys, you're more than a page of ad. He goes, absolutely. We are a value-added marketing partner, and we're more than a page of ad sales. Well, guess what? I still believe today, including the digital side, we can be of incredible resource to the advertisers to help them accomplish their dreams and goals. And back to it, what Jed just said, it's about results, and it's about, you know, X new dollars, and you are that partner. And by providing more than just, you know, an ad and a rate card and a media presentation, the deep value add means you're a trusted partner and you're not going to be removed for your media stuff because you're so deep in the vertical and all the other things that you do for them, okay? Now, again, you got to take that and filter that and think about your market, your competitor, the sector you serve, the resources you have in your team, et cetera, okay?
Let's move. And that's where your experience comes
yep,
in.
Yep, Jed?
Right, right. No, you know, that's where your experience comes in, and that's where, you know, you have – a better vantage point than anyone else in the world, right? Because you can see how advertisers are performing, and you can see the kind of results that they're getting from certain things. So when you make a suggestion to an advertiser to do something, it's based on, you know, it's based on all of this information that you have, not just based on sort of what you're hoping they'll buy, right? It's based on what you think will work.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Absolutely. And setting yourself apart from your competitors. Let's do two more quick ones. Bill in Calgary asks, how do you get your team to buy into the importance of bundling product offerings? And for us, Bill, that's about training, right? On a weekly basis, sales training for and with your team, keeping them sharp related to competitors, related to the value of the bundles, related to the what's inside of the bundle, related to assuming it is a digital component, what has changed this month, this quarter, how that compares to competitors, you know, and so forth. So, you know, we truly believe that advertising sales training is a weekly engagement, 52 opportunities a year for you and your team to pause and take one sales objection, any aspect. Your question was about bundling. You could take any aspect, our editorial, our CERC, our distribution, paid versus not, controlled versus not, a competitor, A, competitor B, whatever it means. Keep your mind sharp. Your advertising sharpness means you're up on the balls of your toes because you're practicing, you're role-playing, you're dialoguing, you're thinking about what sets you apart, and you can do it as easy as today is Wednesday, tomorrow is Thursday. When you're fielding objections and you're presenting with that same level of confidence, clarity, and no pause, then with that comes sales and selling success. Lastly, Robert in BC asks, why do advertisers buy space in a competitor's magazine, which has nearly identical distribution numbers, but at two times the cost of ours? And Robert, you made me pang on that one. I wasn't wrapping up today until we covered that one, Jed. That for me is education. That for me is our media comparisons, our side-by-side, our three-column, which I know you know and utilize and so forth. But that for me is education. I have been in marketplaces where competitors were outgunning me. They were doing a lesser job. They didn't have near the CERC. They didn't have near all the things that we were doing, and yet they were winning. And you know why they were winning? Because the perception was they had the better game in town, and it was up to me to educate that I had a better game. I began to use pie charts. I began to use a line graph to show growth. I began to utilize the media comparisons. I began to call out my unique selling proposals, what made me separate and unique. And as you heard at the very beginning of this call, we began like that tug of war, right? The rope began to move a little more and a little more towards us. And competitors that were 400 and 500 pages, that, and I was only 40 pages, lost 200 and 300 and 400 pages. And one day I was 100 and 200 pages larger. Okay, when you have competitors that you have similar CERC and they're charging that much more, you have got to go to the side and ask yourself and your team, you know, what are we doing to educate this group, because our competitors are beating us and there's no reason why. Okay. Now, we sometimes, Jed, as you know, bump into the other side. Everything's the same, but competitors are beating me because they're charging less or discounting. We get that on the other side, and that's a different challenge, and that's for another day. We'll come back to that. So, listen, we're right at the top of the hour. We always want to be respectful to all of you, to each of you. Thank you so much for being here live. Come back to the MediaBid site. We have more than 10 years of educational programs there for you. Speak to Jed and his group at MediaBids about the wonderful work that they do. You will love working with them. And, of course, we'd love to see all of you continue to come back each month as we deliver these programs where we talk about what we're doing as advertising sales leaders. If you want to go even more depth on the how to do it and the actual applications and templates and checklists and see the things that we're talking about, every Tuesday we meet. That's our Power Hour Sales Academy. And it's open mic. It's just like this. You dial in. But the difference is you're speaking with us. We're speaking with you. And we field all of your questions real time. Okay? So we'd love to have you join us on Tuesday. Come to powerhour.com. You'll see more about that. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up here?
Well, thanks. Thanks to all of you for joining us. You know, thanks again to Ernest, who always brings an enormous amount of knowledge to these calls. And you know, we look forward to working with you in the future. And thanks again to all of you.
Absolutely. And, Jed, thank you for all the support and work behind the scenes. And I know next month you have a topic that you are passionate. Would you like to just give the group a little teaser what we're going to be covering next month?
So next month we're going to talk about programmatic selling, which is something that has become extremely popular online, and I think that there are some lessons to be learned from that and ways that that it can be applied to print. It's essentially a system for taking advertisers' rate requests and sort of categorizing them and making sales based on their requests. But it has a lot of potential because it's become so widely used online. I think there's some ways that print publications can capitalize on it.
Beautiful. Jed, looking forward to it next month. Always a pleasure to all of you. Make it a fabulous day, and we'll see you next month. Take care.
Right. Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone.